You're listening to Crime Hive, and this is another true crime story of how they were caught. Now, this one has some interesting elements to it, as you'll come to find out here in just a moment. And this story takes place on the 4th of July in 1996.
Crime Hive.
9-year-old Cindy Ellinger was supposed to be home for dinner, but didn't show up. Her mother, Rhonda, became very concerned and called 911. People started wandering around the neighborhood looking for her, but they couldn't find her. And she didn't show up the next morning. And this would prompt over 100 volunteers to search for her. But again, no one could figure out where she was. Investigators started looking into the family, of course, those closest to Cindy, and they learned that her mother and father were divorced, and the father had an alibi, so he was quickly ruled out in this case. The mother denied involvement, and she would fail a polygraph test. Now, we know polygraph tests are not admissible in court. Typically, what happens is an investigator will try to get some sort of confession or details from the crime as if they are interviewing the suspect. Oftentimes, the suspect will give information to help in these cases. The polygraph itself doesn't really do much for law enforcement. Now, she fails this polygraph test, but she would also later be ruled out in this case. 2 weeks would go by. There was even a $5,000 reward, and a member of Rhonda's church, apparently she might have been a psychic. She had this dream or this vision, which is hard to believe, you know, that she had this experience, but she contacted police and said that she saw a young girl in a field who was asleep or dead, apparently even drew a map where her body was. Police would search a second time. About a half mile from her home, they would find her body, and it would be wrapped in carpet under a water heater. Now, most people are probably thinking, okay, the psychic, are they involved? And magically, no, the psychic was not involved. And whether you believe that or not, that spiritual element or that religious element that may have helped in this case, you know, that's up to you, of course. But it was interesting that a psychic apparently helped in finding her body. Now, an autopsy would be done on Cindy's body, and there was a violent end to her death. She had been sexually assaulted and beaten badly. She was only 9 years old, which makes it even more horrific. Her body was next to an abandoned house where, in this area, there was a high gang area, a lot of sex offenders in that area. So detectives would start ruling out all of these sex offenders one by one, and all of them were ruled out in that area. So they had to look at some other creative ways to come up with evidence or to be able to convict someone. And one of the things they did was they outsourced to some scientists to look at the insect activity on her body. And a doctor would actually conduct an experiment where he would wrap a dead animal in carpet to simulate a similar outcome. And with the insect activity, investigators learned that Cindy had in fact died around July 4th. And so they were narrowing down a time frame when they did find a potential suspect who could fit within that window of when she was possibly killed. Now, Cindy's mother had mentioned she was last seen around 3 p.m. There was some confusion earlier, and investigators thought it was a later time frame, which would hinder the investigation to a degree, but they would get that issue cleared up, and the window would be somewhere around 3 p.m. So investigators look back at Cindy's last moments, and they learn from her sister that they were playing together that day on the 4th. Cindy was going to go to her friend Raz's house. Now, her mother thought that this Raz individual was a boy, but would later learn that Raz was in fact a man, an older man named Guy Rasmussen, who was a musician and had spent some time with Cindy. And she told investigators about this. And so this would give police a lead to interview Raz. They learned from him that he went to a concert and he called a friend from a payphone and had the friend pick him up at about 4:15 p.m. And investigators originally thought Cindy was last seen around 4:30 p.m., but they would clear that up, as I mentioned, and that would be within the window of Raz potentially committing this crime before he would go off to this concert. Raz would fail the polygraph test as well. Investigators also learned that from his interview, Raz downplayed knowing Cindy, said he may have met her once, didn't really know who she was, but they would later learn from others that he had been seen with Cindy multiple times and had even given her a stuffed animal. And this type of behavior would suggest possible grooming. Now, they also did a background check on Raz and learned something very disturbing with him because he had spent about 6 years in prison for a previous sexual assault of a teen and then was a suspect in 2 other murder cases, but apparently there was a lack of evidence. They weren't able to convict him. So Guy has this alibi, and payphone records would confirm that he called his friend. But again, that window before then, he didn't really have an alibi. And police would search his home. They would collect his clothing from the 4th of July. What was interesting is his clothes were just kind of scattered in his bathtub, unwashed, just sitting there. Police were able to collect them along with his socks and his shoes. And they found some interesting items on his clothes. They found some tiny plant material on his shoes and socks. They would take this plant material to the lab to find if it was similarly found at the crime scene. The crime scene was outside around a bunch of different plants and trees. So they looked at these seed samples under a microscope, and there were more than 12 different species identified. Those 12 species were the same species found at the crime scene. Now, to narrow that down even further, forensics noted that the seeds were at the same stage of development. So this would only mean one thing, that Guy Rasmussen was at the crime scene. And then to really get the evidence they were really looking for, they would also find a stain on his shirt, and they would test that. DNA from that shirt would give investigators 2 profiles. One profile ended up being Cindy's blood. On the same stain, mixed into that blood, was another DNA profile, which ended up being his semen, Guy's semen. So that right there was a very powerful clue that would allow them to arrest Guy. Not easily refuted evidence right there. That's kind of a nail in the coffin, so to speak. So police, with the evidence they had, went out to arrest Guy. They arrested him when he was actually performing on stage at a concert. Right in the middle of the concert, they arrested him. They learned that he was not on the sex offender list because his last conviction was before the law was changed, making it mandatory to register. And so he was able to skirt by. Had he been on that registration, that sex offender list, he possibly could have been snagged much earlier by law enforcement. But luckily, with the detective work, forensics, the outsourcing of experts with, you know, the insect activity and the plants, that was able to convict him. And he would serve life in prison without parole. And that was how he was caught. Really interesting science with the plants and the seeds and also the insect activity to narrow down time of death. That's it for this week's episode. And stay tuned for my website, crimehive.com. And also, I'm going to be putting together a Discord and a private community where we will discuss these cases deeper and have some community around it. So I hope you guys are looking forward to that, and I'll see you next week. Crime Hive.